All right, we've talked about this before. We've had J-Man on talking about this. I don't think it's a done deal yet. And what will it mean to the cannabis industry in Michigan? I'm talking about the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. They're reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug. Right now it's on the list. Same thing as with heroin and LSD. It's on that same list. And what was that movie from the 30s on marijuana? I mean, it's kind of funny. It's kind of comical now. It's a cult classic. Well, it's proposed. I don't think it's a done deal. Joining us now, the COO of Mint Cannabis is Raul Molina. I don't think it's Molina, not Molina. Hey, Raul, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you doing? And you had it right. It is Molina.
So. Molina. All right. Do you remember that? Have you ever seen that, the movie that they did? It was like a propaganda movie in the 30s, I think. Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
It's almost laughable. But isn't it awful? I mean, it is kind of almost laughable today.
Who would have ever known we would have been where we are today after that kind of movies were being put out by, you know, either the government or the people in charge and everything that we were facing back then and where we're at now. It's two different worlds.
Yeah, well, I think the maybe some of the alcohol industry maybe got behind that because they wanted, no, don't do that, do this. So what does this mean? First of all, how far along in this process is it? Because this is not a done deal, the reclassification, is it?
No, it's not a done deal by a long shot. It's probably got anywhere from a year to maybe even a year and a half to go. It'll depend on if anybody decides that they want to sue the government for whatever decisions they make at the final. But it's still got to go to public comment. After public comment, it's got to be held by a couple of committees. Then it goes to public comment one more time. And then once they actually get to the point where they decide that they're going to actually approve it, it takes a while for implementation. And during that implementation period is when people can kind of chime in and decide that they didn't like the direction they took. And some people might sue, which would delay it a little bit longer. So I'm going to say at minimum on a good year, we finish in about a year. And if there's any delay, it'll be take a little bit longer than that. But it's definitely a good step forward.
Oh, yeah, and a historic step forward. It's probably the biggest, I was reading over the weekend, the biggest policy change for the DEA in like 50 years. But you, as the COO of a cannabis, I guess, would you say Mint is a cannabis company, really? What does this mean? Let's say they reclassify marijuana, and does this make it legal nationwide then? Or is it still a state thing?
No, it's still a state thing. And I think it'll maintain a state thing even after it gets declassified and decriminalized on the Congress level. It'll still stay a state thing. A lot like the alcohol industry, where each state kind of has certain regulations that they follow that either work better for their state or they just decided that's how they wanted to operate. So the federal will stay above everything else, and it'll be everybody will have a program at the state level.
Still, I
even
got
after
you.
Reclassification. So.
Is this mainly for medical marijuana, but all across the board? And what does it do for your business?
It's all across the board. So right now, there's the biggest thing it does for the industry is it allows us to stop paying 280E. 280E is a tax that's levied on the cannabis industry that charges 40% off the top. No deductions. You're allowed to reduce cost of goods and labor, which brings that 40 closer to about 25-27% with a good accountant. So if you have a business that makes $1 million a year, the federal government is expecting 250, 270, up to 40% right off the top at the end of the year. So it's definitely going to allow the industry to have a slightly larger profit margin. It'll definitely be something huge for Michigan. Michigan is a market that has that's matured well and has a ample supply of product, which always makes the product come down in price. The more you have, the less you can get for it. And with this and them not having to pay the 280E tax, it'll allow a lot of the companies in Michigan to breathe a little bit better and get a little bit higher profit margins and hopefully be able to invest within themselves, invest in new equipment, invest in, you know, the clientele, and maybe even pass some of the savings down to them. So it's definitely a good thing. It's a huge tax break for the industry.
Is there any other industry that's taxed that high? That sounds huge.
There is no other industry where 280E is placed upon. And we were, the cannabis industry was the only one that was paying this tax. And like I said, it's not a few points, it's quite a bit. So it'll definitely be a lot of companies' savior that probably were just making it or struggling a little bit to make it. And now they'll be able to squeeze a little bit better profit margins out and hopefully be able to survive and thrive.
Well, even though, I mean, how many mint cannabis, how many would you call dispensaries? I don't even know. See, I don't. I've never used marijuana ever in any way, shape, or form. Gummies, nothing like that. But I get it.
Don't feel bad. I'm one of the owners, and I don't smoke either. So.
Okay, so you see this as a business opportunity, but how many dispensaries, if I'm even using the right terminology, how many dispensaries does Mint have?
At the moment, we have 26 licenses across the country. 7 operating inside Michigan, with probably another 6 coming by first quarter of next year. So we definitely like Michigan. It's probably one of the better programs in the country. It's definitely one of the highest ranking as far as volume sales. So we like Michigan. It's a play where you have to have several stores in order to make an impact and make a difference. And you know, but it's at the same time, it's going to be. Michigan's about to get a little bit better as far as the cannabis industry is concerned.
Okay. So you said a couple of things there. You have to have a couple of stores, as you call them, to have an impact, to make any money at this thing. But that's because of the tax rate right now, right?
It's because of the tax rate and then because of the low profit margins in the Michigan market. You have to have several stores in order to create efficiencies, be able to take advantage of volume buying. If you're a one-store, two-store company in Michigan, you're going to have a hard time acquiring the product. You're going to have a hard time acquiring it at the right price. And you're going to have a hard time being a player and an impact maker in the state. So it's Michigan's a 10-20-store state. If you're able to do that, you should do well within it. And it's actually a good market. My second favorite market in the country.
My sister, way back in the day, told me, because she's in the industry, boy, big time. I mean, she could probably keep you in business with what she buys. But she encouraged me to invest in pot farms, basically, cannabis growing processes. And I said, I don't even know why. No. And I maybe I missed the boat on that. Couldn't somebody have their own from supply to end? If you want to have a store, grow your own, and do the whole process, I'm sure there's licenses and stuff there, but would that be more efficient?
It does create, because then you can kind of live off your own supply. You're able to, it's called being vertical, and you're able to, you know, cultivate, manufacture, produce, and then retail sell your own products. It does increase the profit margins at that point, but it also increases the level of investment that you have to put in. And so it kind of one thing goes on with the other. You know, you can live off the wholesale market and try to take advantage of a market that's oversupplied, or you can build your own, but then you have to have the funds and the capital to build your own. And right now in the cannabis industry, it's not cheap.
So, yeah, and the branding, you've got to be recognized. And Willie Nelson have his own brand?
He does. Willie Nelson, Mike Tyson. There's actually quite a few celebrities out there that have come out and had their own brand out. And, you know, some of them are traditional and you expect it. You know, Cheech and Chong, Willie Nelson. And then there's a few others out there that, you know, it's a little surprising that they got into the game. But it's definitely something that's attractive at the moment and a lot of people are trying to get into.
Money is money. That's right. So it's not too late to get in financially into the cannabis industry. And I think this is going to happen, the declassification, whether it takes a long time or not, I think it's going to happen. This industry is going to explode, is it not? I mean, right now it seems like in Michigan there's a dispensary like every block. I know it's my perception, but what's that going to do? Are we going to see one every corner? It'd be like a Walgreens or a CVS or something.
I think what you're going to see is you're going to see other states that don't have a program or have a program that's not at the maturity level of Michigan start kind of entering the system. But I'm going to tell you something that I tell most people when they ask me about getting into the cannabis industry. It was definitely easier yesterday, but you want to do it today because tomorrow it's going to be even harder. And it's the stocks where they're at now. They had a small jump when the DEA announced. They'll probably have another jump once it gets passed in a year or whenever it happens. And then, but the big jump is going to be when it gets decriminalized across the country and the companies will be able to uplist onto the stock market. And then you're going to see a lot of those stocks that you're seeing that kind of have been maintaining around the $2, $3, $4, $5 range, jump up to $15, $20. So it's still not too late. I would say you definitely got about 2 to 5 years to wait before it actually gets decriminalized. It'll most likely happen on a presidential cycle. But at the same time, there is going to be a nice jump at some point. And that'll most likely be as soon as they start talking about decriminalizing it across the country and making it federally legal. And that's when the burden is going to jump in. Big money is going to come in. So it's a catch-22 situation. You know, you got to be careful what you ask for. As you decriminalize, as you reschedule, you're allowing other players also into the market that you really can't stop them from coming in, but you got to understand what their impact is going to be once they get in. And I'm talking about big pharma. I'm talking about tobacco. I'm talking about the alcohol industry. I'm talking about players who are going to come in who have more firepower than anybody that's in the industry now. And we just got to be careful, you know. A lot of companies will exit at that point and be bought out. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of mergers and acquisitions whenever it finally gets decriminalized. And I think that's when the big boom is going to happen. That's when you're going to start seeing a little bit more of it. That's when you're going to start seeing a little bit more open. That's when you're going to start seeing advertised on TV, on radio. You know, a lot of places that right now are kind of blocking it or just not allowing it are going to all of a sudden be open to it. And I think that's when it's going to change. I think, you know, right now, even with the rescheduling, you know, big pharma, now that it's a Schedule 3 drug, as long as they can get anything approved by the FDA, they'll be able to sell that product across the country and across state lines. And, you know, right now that's not an option for us. You know, getting through the process of the FDA is expensive, it's difficult, time-consuming, and the people who have the money for that are the big pharma. You know, right now a lot of the middle-sized players and smaller players are trying to just survive in the industry, you know. I was just at a conference where there was people out there doing financial lending for cannabis. And the big thing was, you know, instead of upbeat, everybody happy, talking about how great the industry is, because it really is a great industry. It was more of a, you know, instead of it's survive to thrive was kind of the slogan that everybody was throwing around. You know, you got to survive another 3-4 years, but if you do that, you're probably going to be golden. You know, but it's hard because right now, if you have your state taxes, you have your federal taxes, you have any excess taxes that you got to pay on top of that, it shortens the amount of money you can that you're going to gain. And it also feeds the black market. The higher the taxation on the product, the easier it is to go to the guy that's down the street in the neighborhood that's also got some decent product that doesn't have to pay overhead, doesn't have to pay taxes, and is willing to sell it to you for, you know,
50%
of what you're
going to
pay at the dispensary.
Oh, man. This is a minefield. I had no idea. Raul Molina, you're an interesting cat. I hope we can keep in touch and we'll chat again soon. All right, we're up on time, pal. But no, I'm not even in the industry, but it's an interesting business model. Raul, we'll talk soon again, all right?
All right, you have a great day, okay, guys?
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Wow. My mind is boggled. I got to call my broker. 1320 WILS.